This is KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. You can access shows live or by going online to KUCI.org. This is the In the Garden Show, produced by UC Master Gardeners. I am Ann Liu, your host for the hour. This week's topic is the San Joaquin Marsh and the UC Irvine Arboretum. I am pleased to have with me key members of the Arboretum team. First, let me introduce Dr. Peter Bowler, a faculty member in ecology and evolutionary biology. He has been the director of the UCI Arboretum and Herbarium since 1996. Dr. Bowler is the faculty director of the UC Natural Reserve Systems San Joaquin Reserve that is adjacent to the Arboretum. Welcome, Dr. Bowler.
Thank you very much, Anne. It's a delight to be here.
May I call you Peter?
Please do.
What is your research?
My research focuses upon ecological restoration, the recreation of natural native habitats, and the Arboretum is central to that. We grow a lot of plants there that are used in our habitat creation projects, both on campus and in the San Joaquin Freshwater Marsh.
Also, I have here three dedicated and key UC Master Gardener team members who volunteer there weekly to keep the plants healthy and properly pruned. The Arboretum is one of the many venues where UC Master Gardeners serve. The leads for this venue are Susan Hughes. Hi, Susan.
Hello. It's good to be here.
And Miriam Ferguson.
Hi, Anne. Thank you for having us this morning.
An additional lead is Veronique Sweat, who specializes in the South African bulb collection. She has been the lead there for almost 15 years. Hi, Veronique.
Hi, Anne. Nice to be here. Thank you for having us.
These UC Master Gardeners are just a few of a larger group who work there. Welcome to all of you. Would you describe your involvement at the UCI Arboretum? Peter, let's start with you.
Very well, thank you. The UCR Arboretum is a 12.5-acre facility that's part of the UCI campus, and it's been managed from the beginning back since about 1965 by the School of Biological Sciences. The Arboretum itself began growing plants for classes and research in roughly the 1970 period, and plants started going in the ground in about 1975 when the first director was appointed, and that's Dr. Harold Kupowitz, a wonderful man who is now retired. Dr. Kupowitz is South African and amassed a very significant internationally known collection of South African, particularly bulb and aloe plants, and we still have many of those today. My personal interest is in the California Floristic Province, which is the Mediterranean-type ecosystem circumference from South Oregon to Central Baja California. And so since 1996, when I was appointed the director, we have focused upon creating exhibits representing our local habitats within the Floristic Province, primarily here locally.
I'm so glad you're here, Dr. Bowler.
Thank you.
Now, for the UC Master Gardeners, can you tell me how you have become involved with the Arboretum? Let's begin with you, Susan.
I am a recent graduate of the Master Gardener program, and I became involved as soon as I graduated from the program with the UCI Arboretum in 2014. I'm an alum of UCI and have always really loved the Arboretum, so it seemed like a natural fit for me.
And how about you, Miriam?
I have a similar story to Susan. I'm also a graduate of the program in 2014 and started working at the Arboretum shortly after graduating. I, too, am an alumnus of UCI. But while I was at the school, I did not ever visit the Arboretum, so it's been a real treat for me to become involved in it at this point in my life.
I'm so glad you're here, Miriam. How about you, Veronique?
Well, I started working at the Arboretum about 18 years ago, and when it was decided to plant the bulb collection in the ground and to set a special area for the bulb collection, I became very involved and very interested, and I've been working there ever since. There were several of us who decided to apply to the Master Gardener program in about 2002, and we got in, and we continue our involvement at the Arboretum. So we continue to do that.
Okay, let's jump into our interview. Dr. Bowler, would you begin by letting us know a short history of the Arboretum, how long it has been around, and how did it get started?
Well, when the University of California opened in 1965, UC Irvine, it had always planned to have an arboretum. And actually, the herbarium, which is a preserved plant collection system that's part of the arboretum and curated by it, was started in 1965. And we have some very classic collections by extremely famous ecologists. And one of the neat things about a herbarium is you know who collected things, when and where, and you have a preserved sample that can usually be used for genetic purposes and oftentimes seeds. At any rate, it's an important feature that began early on. In about 1970, plants were grown at the Arboretum for research and teaching, and personally, I was a graduate student here from 70 to 74 when I got my PhD. And so early on, I used, back in the early 1970s, plants grown at the Arboretum for ecology core and some other classes. So I've loved the Arboretum for a long time. About 1975, 1976, the first director was appointed, and that was Dr. Harold Kupowitz, now emeritus, but who is a South African and amassed a beautiful collection of South African plants. So he started putting them in the ground about 1975. Since 1975, there have been many changes. In 1996, Professor Kupowitz stepped down and returned to teaching and research and subsequently retired. When I took over in 1996, I switched the focus from South Africa to more recent plantings of habitats and exhibits representative of plant communities in the California Floristic Province. The Master Gardeners have been an absolutely magnificent asset and partner in many of our efforts, and thanks to them, we have a lot of exhibits that are looking very good.
It's a fantastic place to visit. And later on in the show, listeners will be able to find out when you will be able to visit the Arboretum, because it is only open twice a year. Now, Dr. Bowler, it was originally 8 acres, and it has expanded quite a bit, right?
Yes, now it's 12.5 acres. And the Arboretum is unique in that it is unique among the UC Arboreta, in that it's abutting and adjacent to the UC Natural Reserve System, San Joaquin Marsh Reserve. And it is the portal for roughly 4,000 user days during the past year, and nearly 2,500 students, dozens of classes that use both the Arboretum and the marsh. So it's a perfect marriage.
So the Arboretum is next to the marsh, and the marsh is used partly for research as well as for teaching?
Yes, the UC Natural Reserve System was established in 1970, and that's when actually the marsh was incorporated into it. And today the reserve system has 39 different reserves that UC as a system, either owns directly or manages.
I remember visiting the marsh and you gave me a tour. It's a home to a vast variety of plant and animal species.
Yes, it is. We have over 200 bird species, roughly 265, that have been recorded in the San Joaquin wetlands, including the Sea and Sage area as well as our marsh. And Sea and Sage does monthly bird surveys of both the marsh and our arboretum. So this is another good partnership.
It's part of the Audubon Society.
Yes.
Across the way.
Yes, it is. The National Audubon Society has an Orange County chapter, the Sea and Sage Audubon Society, that is the one who are the local experts.
I remember tasting some of the plant species. Can you tell me about some of those plants?
Absolutely. You know, in days of yore, people used to forage for food, and many of our particularly non-native species were introduced as food plants so that poor people could go out and eat them. Today, we view them as weeds, and we go to the farmer's market. However, there's a lot of interest on this campus due to a large extent because of our sustainability initiative, one of a number of initiatives, academic initiatives that UC sponsors, where we have a seed-to-plate program, and I regularly take students and community folks out into the marsh, and we collect many, many different plants that are edible, everything from the non-native artichoke, the globe artichoke, to fennel, to celery, to many different species of mustard, black mustard, arugula, etc. So we have lots of plants that people are still eating today, and we're encouraging it. I want you to eat all the non-natives you can. We're trying to get rid of them anyway in the marsh.
Great. Now, this marsh is a remnant wetland.
Yes. Long ago, there was a Cienega de las Ranas, the Cienega of the Frogs, that encompassed the entire Tustin Plain. And this marsh was a little lobe of it. And in fact, in those days, San Diego Creek didn't even exist. And in a true sense, Newport Back Bay was an inlet rather than a true estuary with continuous freshwater entering. San Diego Creek is a modern artifact of the city of Irvine. And originally, a little piece of San Diego Creek, the tiny trickle that it was in those days, went through our marsh. And as the city of Irvine expanded, clearly flood control would be needed. So San Diego Creek was channelized. And that's sort of how the estuary component of Newport Back Bay came into play in modern times.
Is the marsh part of the 12.5 acres of the arboretum?
No, the marsh is 202 acres. It actually isn't technically part of the UCI campus. It's owned by the Board of Regents, UC system-wide, but obviously since it's here right next to UCI and UCI sort of surrounds it, UCI manages it, and it's a huge teaching and research facility for us. The public isn't allowed to randomly enter the marsh, but I lead lots of tours for the public, and public groups can apply, and I'll approve them and have a leader for them.
So listeners out there, you know that the person to contact to have a group visit of the marsh would be Dr. Peter Bowler.
Absolutely. Just email me at pabowler, B-O-W-L-E-R, at uci.edu. And parenthetically, the marsh property also includes a jogging and riding trail along San Diego Creek on the Jamboree side. And then we technically also own a segment of the bike path on the UCI main campus side, and actually a little piece of University Drive. But all of these things were eased long ago and are appreciated by the public.
Now, returning back to the arboretum, one can actually see the marsh. It can be viewed from the arboretum, correct?
Absolutely. They abut each other, and looking down, because the arboretum is a slope leading down to the old original wetlands, you can see the zonation of plants and the beauty of the wetlands. sort of from afar.
And that's why we call this one of Orange County's garden gems and vistas. The marsh adds a huge dimension to the arboretum. Now, this arboretum is one of seven arboreta in the UC system, correct?
Yes. It's sort of like the Lord of the Rings. We're one of the seven.
One of the seven.
UC has a total of seven arboreta and seven herbaria at our 10 institutional bases, the 10 campuses. And parenthetically, the UCI Herbarium is part of the Consortium of California Herbaria, and with the other UC schools, we are participating in a digital herbarium project so that folks from all over the world can digitally access our collections. Some of the most famous UC arboreta are the Mildred Mathias Arboretum up at UCLA. Absolutely magnificent. UC Davis has a tremendous arboretum that's very extensive. And, of course, UC Berkeley's arboretum is world famous. They have housed many of the endangered and sensitive South African collections that we have that we either gave them duplicates of or the original specimens. So there's a great sharing among our arboreta. And, of course, UC Riverside also has a very nice arboretum as well as a lovely herbarium.
It's extra special when the arboreta are next to a river. So one of my favorites places outside of the Irvine area is the Davis one because of Peter Creek.
Yes, it's extensive, and gosh, I think it extends almost a mile along that creek, and it's a fabulous, greatly appreciated resource. And also there are bike paths in it, and it's really a neat experience to visit that one.
Wouldn't it be fun to have a little passport for UC Arboreta and go to each one and get a stamp for it?
It would be fantastic. And, of course, we also accept donations.
Checks can be written to UC Regents. Now, what makes ours unique?
Well, our wonderful South African exhibits set us apart from other arboreta that we're really by far the best in that category. And we have many things that other arboreta have. We have lots of exhibits, as I said, from the California Floristic Province. We have some unique plantings in some of these, including the Otay Mesa, where there are many endemic biological hotspot species in our Mediterranean ecosystem. Some of these plants have never been grown elsewhere, and so it's a real boon to researchers to be able to request living plant material that they can work on and study, whereas they wouldn't be allowed to touch these plants in nature.
So before you leave, is there anything you would like to add?
Yes, I think that it's important to understand that the School of Biological Sciences plans in the future to form a botanic garden rather than an exact arboretum. And the difference between these kinds of places and Aldrich Park or Mason Park or Irvine Park are that we know where a lot of the plants came from. They have collection data associated with them. But there is an intent to expand this to an area that will be a showcase for research in the School of Biological Sciences in environmental areas, and also to make it available to parties upon request for public tours. And this particular quarter, I have three tours a week, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, from 11 to about 1:15, if it's not raining or muddy. And these are designed primarily for classes, but other folks are welcome to come along too. But the arboretum is not open to random public entry.
I see. So the public can email you
and absolutely
make any special requests. Again, his email is pabowler, pabowler at uci.edu. Dr. Bowler is very, very personable and happy to share his love for the Arboretum and the marsh. So thank you very much for sharing your expertise.
My absolute pleasure. And I wanted to add that there are about a dozen classes at least that use the Arboretum as for its own intrinsic worth, horticulture, for example, but also as a stepping stone entering the marsh. So together, this natural area and our beautiful human-created set of exhibits work hand in hand. Also, I'd like to talk briefly about some of the current projects that we have that are very stimulating, both in terms of scientific research and student projects. Just as an example, Professor Kalen Mooney in Ecology and Evolutionary Biology has a large NSF grant and will be creating common garden experimental settings in the lower part of the Arboretum. And common gardens are places where you can do random block experiments with altering various factors, but in a common environmental setting. And this is about the only place on the UCI campus that those kinds of efforts can be conducted. We also have other faculty involved in a permaculture project. There's a large aquaponics project involving both faculty and students. And another area of endeavor is agroecology. And so there's a lot of stimulating new kind of things that are happening.
Agroecology, that it's sounds like an interesting
marriage of different fields.
Yes.
And it is somewhat like permaculture, which are growing edible forests, but it's a little bit different. Professor Bill Tomlinson in informatics is heading that with one of his graduate students. There are actually three doctoral dissertations that are being conducted at the Arboretum now. And last year there was a large paper that was published in the prestigious journal Ecology. Besides those kinds of efforts, there are some other studies that are being done. Dr. Barbara Cottrell in civil engineering is doing some landfill leachate research in wading pools using native plants from the marsh, but housed at the Arboretum. We have created some raised bed settings in which we can raise organic plants for students as a demonstration and also produce plants for classes like horticulture. The Master Gardeners have been a lifeline for us in terms of support because, like many areas, we need people more sophisticated than just undergraduate students, folks to guide them in maintaining and expanding our habitats. And the Master Gardeners' South African bulb garden, which is a tremendous feature, is being expanded this year. So in a month or two, there should be magnificent floral displays. And in fact, some of the aloes are out now. The Master Gardeners on a quarterly basis have seminars open to the public. You have to register for them, but they're open to the public. And the next one is February 27th. And during that seminar day, when there'll be several seminars, we will also have a guided tour by me of the Arboretum and the marsh. So everyone's welcome to attend.
We'll add more about the event a little bit later. I just wanted to interject here that the California Master Gardener Program mission is to extend research-based, scientifically accurate information to the public about home horticulture and pest management. So working along with the UCI Arboretum is a perfect marriage, so to speak.
It is. And one quick point I wanted to make is because we are in the midst of we're in the middle of the Mediterranean ecosystem here, we are able to grow these South African plants so beautifully that also occur in a Mediterranean climate in South Africa.
Miriam,
I would like to ask Dr. Bowler to speak about the former turf area near the gazebo and what the plans are for the future there.
Thank you, Miriam. You know, because we are in such a severe drought, everyone from the governor down has both directed and been dedicated to water reduction. And the Arboretum, I'm pleased to say, is using the least water in the last half dozen years. So we really have curtailed our use. And part of that program has been to eliminate turf and water-thirsty areas so that we can create a xeriscape display. And this will be done in conjunction with the master gardeners and student helpers.
Now, Peter, I know that you brought along some information about funding.
Well, the Arboretum is, as I said, a part of the School of Biological Sciences here. And when scientists do research, very often they bring funding with them, which is extremely helpful. We also have some external grant support. Professor Mooney's NSF grant is going to substantively upgrade both the research area and also a number of other aspects like electricity, et cetera, water lines and so forth. And this is extremely valuable to us. So we have groups with NSF funding. We have a number of student groups that are using grants from campus sources, ASUCI, to create the aquaponics and some of the other displays that they're working on.
Dr. Bowler, I am so happy you're here. You made time out of your busy schedule to be here, and I know you have a class to run out to. Thank you again, Dr. Bowler, for coming.
My pleasure.
I would like to take a short station break to let you know that you are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine and KUCI.org online. This is the In the Garden Show, produced by the UC Master Gardeners of Orange County. I am Ann Liu, your UC Master Gardener DJ for the hour. For more home garden information, go online to uccemg.com. You can find out more about weeds, pests, ornamental plants, and edibles with photos to help you identify them. uccemg.com gives you month-by-month gardening tips and information about soils, fertilizers, compost. This website also lists events where UC Master Gardeners are presenting garden workshops based on the latest scientific research done by the University of California Cooperative Extension. Also, you can find information about publications by ANR, Agriculture and Natural Resources. Some of these are free as well as available in Spanish. Do you have a particular question about your garden? Are you interested in becoming a UC Master Gardener? Are you looking for a speaker for your group? You can go on this website to find answers to your garden questions on our hotline and to access podcasts of our past In the Garden shows. This week's topic is one of the UC Master Gardener venues, the UCI Arboretum. My guests are the Arboretum team, Dr. Peter Bowler, who has now left for class, and key leadership of the UC Master Gardener team, Miriam Ferguson, Susan Hughes, and Veronique Sweat. Now let's return to our interview with them. How and when did UC Master Gardeners become involved?
I actually was involved in the Arboretum before I became a Master Gardener. I was volunteering there and working on the propagation of plants. And then we, several of us, decided to apply for the Master Gardener program, and we got in, and we took the class and enjoyed it very much and continued working at the Arboretum. So it's been a long time. It's been 15, 16 years that the Master Gardeners have been involved. And as time went on and the garden, the collection developed, more and more people got in, more and more master gardeners got involved. And so now there's a group of us working every Wednesday and enjoying it.
Now, did the UC Master Gardeners first begin only with a bulb garden collection?
Primarily, yes. The bulb collection was planted around 1998, and we were mostly working on this, and then little by little we expanded to other areas where now we have people working in several of the sections that will be described in a minute.
Now, before we go into the other garden sections, since the bulb garden is one of the highlights of the Arboretum, can you tell us about the bulb garden, since you are the ultimate expert?
I'm not sure about the ultimate expert, but the collection was originated by Dr. Kupowitz, who was the director of the Arboretum. He is from South Africa and collected in the wild all kinds of seeds and all kinds of bulbs that he brought back to the Arboretum. The collection for a while was housed in lath houses, especially documented, cataloged, and then it was decided to plant the bulbs in the ground. And so a whole area was set up with three different areas, a marsh area, a sandy area, and a mountain area, trying to copy what is really in the wild in South Africa. And we planted bulbs in the appropriate places, and everything has been growing ever since. And now we are mostly in the process of keeping the collection alive, and we continue to propagate and to make sure that the collection survives, because it's a really unique collection of South African bulbs.
Now, I remember working with you ladies at the UCI Arboretum for a short bit, and the bulb garden doesn't look like much part of the year, and then other parts of the year it's just eye-opening. Can you describe the bulb garden through the seasons, Veronique?
We benefit from the fact that we have a Mediterranean climate here in Southern California. That means a very wet or pretty wet winter and a completely dry summer, which is what the bulbs like. The bulbs usually are planted in the fall, and they start coming up in the winter. They bloom in March, and then they go completely dormant, and there's no water whatsoever on the bulbs later on. So part of the year, the garden is gorgeous, and part of the year, it looks like like a desert. And we know it will come back the following year, which is what we enjoy.
What are some of your favorite bulbs, Veronique?
Well, probably one of the most spectacular bulbs and one of the most valuable is the Gladiolus tristis. Unfortunately, it's also a favorite of the ground squirrels, so we have to plant them in special cages so the ground squirrels cannot go and eat the bulbs. Some of the others are all the Watsonias, the chasmanthi, the lacinalias, the spiraxis, and many, many others, nerines. Some of them bloom in the fall. Most of them bloom in the spring.
And later on, the Master Gardeners will talk about the upcoming event where you will be able to see some of these beautiful bulbs in bloom. There are other garden sections, and I'm going to give Miriam a chance to begin talking about the other specialized sections at the Arboretum. Miriam?
Yes, thanks, Anne. As Veronique mentioned, we have a Mediterranean climate here, which is cool, wet winters and dry, warm summers. We are one of five areas in the world with the Mediterranean climate. There's obviously the Mediterranean. There's here in Southern California. Africa, where the bulb collection comes from, Chile, and Australia. And so it makes a perfect location for, in addition to having the South African bulb collection, there are a couple of other gardens of South African plants. We have an area of South African perennials, and we have another garden that is South African trees, and we have some incredible acacia trees that are just spectacular to see. We have quiver tree that is pretty unique, part of our collection. So that's what's represented with the South African species. And then as Peter Bowler told you, we have an extensive California selection. And so it's Alta and Baja California. We have a garden of coastal sage scrub, coastal succulent shrub. We have a Baja desert community. There's an island endemics community and a chaparral community.
You have some nice aloes as well.
Yes, that's part of the South African collection as well, and it is spectacular to see. We were really fortunate last fall when we had an open house to just have a number of aloes in bloom that were just spectacular, and we were taking a walk through and hope that we're going to see another bloom this spring that will be also outstanding.
There was such a popular response from the public. They came to the open house last fall, and we hope that we will have a huge response as well for the spring open house. In these special garden sections, can you describe some of the changes through the seasons, Susan?
Well, and I have to say, the Arboretum is beautiful all year long. I don't think there's a season where it's not spectacular. It gets pretty hot in the summer, and of course, as Veronique had said, the bulb garden goes dormant in the summer. So there's not quite as much color in the summer, but we particularly like fall, winter, and spring, where there's always lots of stuff blooming.
And you are always working in the garden every Wednesday, whether the garden is dormant or not. Can you describe some of the activities the Master Gardeners do?
Well, we help to maintain the perennial gardens. Of course, Veronique is the lead for the South African bulb collection, and she and a number of other Master Gardeners work in the bulb collection pretty much through the year, because if in the summer we work in the lath house when it's dormant out in the garden itself. We also help to maintain the various plant communities that Miriam was talking about, just in terms of general upkeep and maintenance.
I've always been curious, lath house, how is a lath house different from a greenhouse?
If I had to take a stab at it, I would say that a lath house is more open. A greenhouse tends to have a solid roof and solid walls that completely control the environment, whereas a lath house is made of lath. It allows the rain in and so on, but it does offer some shade and some protection for the plants, but it's not a completely controlled environment.
I remember going into the lath house when you were doing a workshop for the UC Master Gardeners on how to do bulb planting.
Yes, that took place back in last March. It was a master class for Master Gardeners. And so we had the opportunity to bring Master Gardeners in and show them the bulb collection and show them how to plant and propagate amaryllis bulbs.
Is it possible for you to describe how to propagate amaryllis on a radio show? What kind of soil do you propagate bulbs in?
Well, bulbs require good drainage, number one, and so it is a very sandy mixture. It's a mixture of sand, perlite, and redwood compost.
I kind of remember, I'm not an expert on this, but I kind of remember making an incision in the bulb?
It is not hard to do, but the important thing about propagating bulbs when you're actually cutting into the bulb flesh, which is what we were demonstrating at that particular seminar is that you must have clean equipment because it's very, once you cut into the flesh, you can introduce bacteria into the bulb, which can cause it to rot. And so the most important thing is to wear gloves and to sterilize your equipment before you get going.
And I remember making the incision, but can you remind me what I do after the incision? How deep is the incision?
Well, it depends on the size of the bulb. An amaryllis bulb is rather large, so you make a good incision probably, you know, again, it's the size, it depends on the size of the bulb. But the important thing about the incision is that you have to cut through the basal plate, which is at the bottom of the bulb, and it's pretty obvious if you look at a bulb what the basal plate is. If you think about what an onion looks like and how the bottom of that onion, that's the basal plate holding all of the flesh together. And so the basal plate contains the genetic information for the plant to reproduce. So when you make your incision for propagation purposes, which means making multiple bulbs out of a single bulb, you need to be sure to include some of that basal plate in each cut.
So is it a vertical cut or horizontal?
It is a cut. If you put the bulb on standing on the bottom and the top of the bulb pointing up, you make a vertical incision from the bottom up to the top, but don't cut through the top of the bulb.
And how many incisions do I make?
Well, it depends on how many additional bulbs you would like and how big your bulb is. The bigger your bulb is, the more incisions you can make, the smaller, the fewer.
And I remember for bulbs, it's important not to cut off the green leaves of the bulb before they go dormant, correct?
Right, absolutely. That's where a bulb gets its energy for the following year, is from the dieback of its greenery.
So the right time to make that incision on the bulb is when?
It's after the bulb has gone through a full life cycle so that it has put out its leaves, it has bloomed, and then the bloom dies back, then the leaves all die back, and the bulb is then dormant. And that's when you want to go in and make your propagation cuts.
Out in the open, in a natural environment, what time of the year would that be the best time to propagate?
Go ahead, Veronique.
No, it's always after the bulb goes dormant, which means for most of the bulbs, around July, August, this is the time to do it. You don't want to do it when the bulb is active, because then you have a chance that it might rot.
I see. I think it's fun to experiment and try it out. There's nothing to lose.
Absolutely.
And so good luck, listeners.
Just be sure and use your less valuable bulbs. Amaryllis is a good choice because they're abundant and not too expensive.
And I imagine one can go on YouTube to,
oh, yes,
to see the
absolutely.
Visual.
Absolutely. There are videos all over the internet on how to propagate bulbs.
It was very helpful for you to give us a little bit of an introduction to how to propagate bulbs. Now, we have a few more minutes. Is there anything you would like to add? Oh, how can I forget? I've been promising on this show that we were going to talk about this. I understand you're extremely busy right now getting ready for the open house to the public. What do you have planned for the spring open house on Saturday, February 27th? Susan, you want to talk about it?
Oh, absolutely, we want to talk about it. The Arboretum is currently closed to the public on a daily basis because it is primarily a research facility. But we are open to the public during our seasonal open houses. And the next one that we have coming up is on Saturday, February 27th. And we're pretty excited. We've got quite a bit in store. Dr. Bowler is going to be leading a tour of the Arboretum and the marsh. That is if it is relatively dry. If it is very wet or raining, he says that the marsh would be miserable and we'll have to postpone. But
it would be marshy, right?
It would be very marshy. And then, of course, we're genuinely hoping that the the bulb garden is going to be spectacular. The end of February, the beginning of March is just a beautiful time for the South African bulb collection.
We expect this season to be exceptional in terms of blooms. The garden is already so full with all kinds of greenery, and it looks like it is going to be spectacular given the El Nino rains that we've gotten, plus the rainings that we got, a couple of them in the fall, which is a little bit unusual, and it got the garden going early, which was helpful after several years of drought.
And the cold wave we've had, has that helped the bulbs as well?
I could not tell you. It doesn't seem to have hurt them. They look fantastic, so we're pretty hopeful. The other thing that is really promising to be spectacular is the aloe garden, the South African aloe garden. It was blooming beautifully in the fall when we had our fall open house, but it's back in glorious action right now. We've been actually out there taking photos because it's just really spectacular. And the perennial garden really looks its best in the spring, and we've been working hard to sort of get that looking tended.
And so if the listeners out there are tempted to come by on February 27th, please do. Do you have to make reservations?
Well, we have, in addition to the tour of the Arboretum and the Marsh, and of course the South African bulb collection and the gardens, we actually have a couple of seminars. We have a Master Gardener-led seminar on attracting and supporting butterfly populations in the garden, as well as an interactive butterfly exhibit where visitors can ask questions and actually talk to a Master Gardener about butterflies. And then we also have a Master Gardener who will be leading a seminar on the care of orchids. We thought that this would be a beautiful spring sort of topic. And we also plan to have a docent who will be in the greenhouse, in the orchid greenhouse, so that visitors can come through and view the UCI Arboretum Orchid Collection. And there will also be an Ask a Master Gardener table where we'll have members of our Master Gardener hotline team, and people can come through and get questions answered about things that they may be having in their own garden.
So those seminars, the butterfly and orchid seminars, do you need to make reservations?
Yeah, that's probably recommended. We have a limited amount of space available for the seminars, which, by the way, will take place rain or shine. Those are indoors. And we have a capacity of about 30. And in our fall seminars, we were certainly at our maximum. So we recommend that anybody who's interested in either one of those seminars contact us, and the contact email is mg.arboretum.openhouse@gmail.com. That's mg.arboretum.openhouse@gmail.com. If they contact us through that email, we can get information to them and reserve a space for them in the seminars.
There will be a flyer posted on KUCI News. Also, you will find information about this event on uccemg.com. Location and parking. Can you talk a little bit about that?
The Arboretum is located at the intersection of Campus Drive and Jamboree. Parking is in Lot 90, and it costs $2 an hour. There's a kiosk there that you can use cash or credit cards. We're located right across the alleyway from Parking Lot 90.
Before we close the show, is there anything you'd like to add, Veronique?
Yes. One of the things I've enjoyed, particularly at the UCI Arboretum, was to work with students. Throughout the years, we've had a number of students coming in and helping us work, plant, weed, do all the things that need to be done for maintenance of a garden, also for propagation. And it's been a pleasure to see all these young people interested in gardening and in horticulture, and hopefully it's a place where they can become interested in horticulture and continue. And it's been a pleasure to work with them, and they've been extremely helpful. Susan?
Well, and that really does tie into the Master Gardener's primary mission of education. Even though, yes, we do a lot of work, we clear paths and we prune and we dig weeds and we plant bulbs, the Master Gardeners primarily are an educational group. Our mission is to extend information that is research-based out to the gardening public. And we get a good chance to do that during these seasonal open houses where we have seminars, we have tours, people have a chance to ask questions, and we feel like we get a good chance to interact with the public and do what we do, which is to educate. Miriam?
And the nice part of all of that experience is that we get to do it at the Arboretum. The Arboretum is filled with just gorgeous vistas, wildlife like you wouldn't believe, and beautiful, beautiful plants. We are just so lucky to be part of the UCI Master Gardener team.
We find that a lot of people aren't even aware that UCI has an arboretum, and I think that lots of people in Orange County have no idea that they have this jewel right here in the middle of Orange County with these fabulous collections and gardens, but of course these views, these vistas that just give a sense of space where sometimes we're lacking that a bit.
Many of the younger people and people who have newly moved to Orange County have not heard about the Arboretum. However, when I've talked to some of the people who have lived here for a while, they always say, I remember going there to buy plants. Are there plant sales there anymore?
No, we do not have plant sales currently, but people who attend the open houses generally walk away with free plants, which may even be better.
Free. We're all into free, aren't we? Thank you again, ladies.
Thank you for having us, Anne.
It was great to be here.
Thanks, Anne.
We have come to the close of our show in the garden. We hope our listeners will have an opportunity to visit the UCI Arboretum, which is one of Orange County's gems of gardens and vistas. Since it is mainly a research and teaching facility, the public will have a rare opportunity to visit the Arboretum during the open house events. They are held seasonally. We hope you can be there. You'll have a chance to see the marsh and some of the favorite plants and sections that the Arboretum team here has described. Thank you, Dr. Bowler, Susan, Miriam, and Veronique, for sharing your expertise and time with us. I would like to end my show with this reminder: gardeners live longer, healthier, and happier lives. Thank you for listening to the In the Garden show on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine, or online on kuci.org. Tune in every week on Thursdays, 8:30 to 9:30 a.m. for another green topic. Following this show is Home Plate. Stay tuned to listen to our very own Galley Girl.